Today we are going to start a brand new sermon series with a new year called The 90%. And I'm going to get into explaining that here in just a minute. This year, 2020, is a very special year for me because come July the 1st, my wife and I will have been married for 20 years. Amen. Praise God. If that don't prove that the Lord is at work, like, I don't know what does. Because it's... oh, my goodness. So we are planning some sort of, like, anniversary trip, right? That you may have heard. In one way or another, that I can be a little tight sometimes. Okay, it shouldn't be that funny, but like, I'm just trying to be a good steward of all the Lord has given me. Amen. There we go. I'll use it like that. I'll make it spiritual. But I realize, you know, 20 years is a good thing to celebrate, right? God has been at work, and in all seriousness, like, we can look back over these 20 years, and I can show you the fingerprints of God all over our lives. Like, it's like, I don't have time to get into all that, but I am excited that we're really gonna celebrate. So we're already talking about, like, where are we gonna go for this anniversary trip, right? Our honeymoon was on the west coast of the Oregon coast. We've never been there before, to be honest with you. I still don't understand why we even went there. We literally Googled cabins in Oregon. And that's where we found our place to go on our honeymoon. We'd never seen it before we got there. We didn't know anybody who was there. For all we knew, there was a serial killer that just put up an ad, right? But it sure was nice. It sure was nice. So we thought about that. We thought about maybe like Hawaii or something. We've never been to New York. We thought maybe something like that. So anyway, we saw all these things, but one way or the other, we're gonna find a place to go, and there's gonna be at least one week where we aren't here, and we're celebrating the 20 years that God has blessed us with. Now, in the meantime, until we get to that trip, which will probably be this summer sometime, until we get to that trip, I'm pretty sure that Beth is anticipating that I am going to celebrate our relationship even still. I'm pretty sure that Beth is going to want me to love her even when we're not on an anniversary trip. Amen? I'm pretty sure that she is going to want me to express my love, even in the responsibilities that I carry out on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, right? She is going to expect that I'm going to say things to her that would make her want to go on an anniversary trip with me, right? I am anticipating that she doesn't just want me to love her on the trip, but she probably wants me to love her even before that trip happens. In fact, I'm going to be so bold as to say that once we get done with the trip and we come back home, she's probably going to want me to love her some more. She's probably going to want another 20 years, right? She's probably going to want to make it to 40 and every day. She's probably going to expect that, like, I'm just love her each and every day, whether we're on a trip or not. Some people, you know what I'm saying, right? Man. Well, we say that, and of course, it sounds ridiculous to almost say it out loud. Like, of course, she would expect that. But sometimes I think that we look at our relationship with the Lord in a very similar way, right? Like, we think of, maybe it's Sunday morning, maybe it's a Christmas or an Easter service, maybe it's, you know, that one time we get invited by somebody or something like that, but we sometimes we do these special things, which are great and are wonderful and are celebrating really, really powerful moves of God, and they're not to be diminished at all. However, I don't think that God is only interested in just those parts of our lives. I think He's interested in everything. And so as we jump into this new year, what I want to do is I want to actually use, and I realize that this could be kind of itchy as we get into it. I want to actually kind of use our finances as a continuing illustration of how it is that we ought to be giving every area of our lives to Him. Right, and so when it comes to our finances, if you haven't heard yet, you will soon hear somebody from that is in a position like me, who's preaching God's word, who will begin talking about giving and tithing. You'll hear about the importance of giving a tithe of 10% of your income to the church in order that it might fund the ministry that God is looking to accomplish, and that you might do that as an expression of worship and faith in who God is and what He is seeking to accomplish through the church. Now, that 10% is great. Let me make sure that you hear me very clearly. I want to encourage you to give, but this series is not about your giving. This series is about what you're doing with the other 90%. Because the truth of the matter is that everything that we have belongs to God. Amen? Like there is nothing that you have created and brought about by yourself. There is nothing that you have brought into being. Like even the strength that you have in order to lead into your place of employment, to earn the paycheck that you do, the mind that you use to think, and the air that you use to breathe, like none of that belongs to you, okay? And so what I want us to recognize then is if all of that belongs to God, then maybe we need to think about like how it is that we not just give part of our lives or maybe even just part of our finances to the Lord, but what do we do with the 90%? How do we use that in a way that will actually glorify God and be an expression of worship even in our daily lives? So I want to begin here by reading through Proverbs chapter 3, starting at verse 5, and I want to read down through verse 10. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 10, and it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim with new wine." Pray with me. Lord God, I ask right now, Father, that You would move in this place in a mighty way. God, I ask in the name of Jesus that my words would be Your words, God, and that Your message alone would be proclaimed in this place. God, I ask that You would help us all just simply to submit ourselves to You. And however it is that You are directing us, whatever it is that You would have us to do, God, we say yes to You even now. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we see here in, particularly there in verse 9, where it talks about the first fruits. And this is the idea of the tithe that we see throughout Scripture, right? And it's the idea that the first tenth of everything that God gives you, you offer to Him as an offering, as a tithe, as an expression of faith, an expression of worship to Him. And while that giving is important, it isn't all of the wealth that God has given us. So how then do we honor God with everything. That's really what I want to talk about today and throughout this month. How do we honor God with everything? And I think that Proverbs 3 here gives us a few ideas, a few glimpses into what that might look like. And all of these things apply to our finances. However, everything also applies to every other area of our lives, too. It's interesting how our money works like that. Is that generally the relationship that we have with our money tends to show itself up in other areas of our lives as well, right? And so, while I realize, and I want to be clear about this, I want to be clear about the fact that I don't think all of this has to do with money. I do think it's interesting how our money is connected to how we look at different areas of our lives. So let me kind of jump into this here. First of all, in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, it starts out by saying, "Trust in the Lord." Now, this is a big deal here, because it is hard to trust sometimes, isn't it? It's so hard to, because what it goes on to say there in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Like, you have been living your whole life to accomplish the understanding that you have right now. Think about this. Everything in your life has led you to this amount of understanding that you have. And what this scripture is saying right here is you can't trust the understanding that you have in your mind. Come on, somebody. I need you to get this now. See, because you will deceive yourself, right? There are some things that you understand in your mind that are not necessarily true, and it will not be hard to prove this, right? Because you probably think some things about yourself that you know are not true, but they still run in your mind. There are some things that people have told you in the past that the devil keeps bringing back up in your head, and you know for a fact that they're not true, but they're still talking to you, and you live your life like they are true. See, you have an understanding that you know is a lie, but you still live according to that understanding. Do you see how messed up this is? Do you see how hard it is to trust in the Lord? This is why it is so important for you to get into your Bible each and every day. Each and every day. Because that is where our understanding, our true understanding comes from. Like, if we don't get the Word, then the world will just be so confusing. It just will. And the truth of the matter is that even, here's what's really interesting, when we understand the world, or the Word, let me be clear, when we understand the Bible, let me just clarify that, when we understand the Bible more, we will care much less that we don't understand the world anymore. Because it won't be a matter of us understanding why things are. We won't have to try to figure out what's going on and everything. Rather, what we will do is we will submit to God's Holy Spirit at work in our lives, and we'll say, God, I don't understand what's happening right now, but I trust you anyway. Do you see how that's a difference with the 90%? See, the 10% would say, well, I'm going to show up on a Sunday morning, and I'm going to trust that God is going to bless my life, and then I'm going to go home, and I'm going to live however I want to live. But the 90%, like, when we give the 90% to God, then we recognize I've got to trust Him with everything. And when I set my understanding aside and just trust that God loves me, then I can put my faith in Him and see Him work in a mighty way. You see that? And it's with everything in our lives, right? In verse 6 there, it says, in all of your ways, submit to Him. Now, here's what's interesting, because I think if we probably took a poll here this morning, we'd probably all say that we want to have straight paths, right? We want to have a good life. We want to have an easy life, right? We want things to work out. We want the fruit of God's Holy Spirit. We want to see love, and we want to experience joy and peace and kindness. Like, we want all of the fruit of God's Holy Spirit, but sometimes we struggle so much to submit to God's Holy Spirit. See, if you look back at Galatians chapter 5, and we're not going to do that right now, but if you look back at Galatians chapter 5, it talks about this battle, if you will, between the flesh and the spirit. And it's only when we deny the desires of our flesh that we are able to submit ourselves to God's Holy Spirit. That's the same idea as setting aside our understanding in order to trust God. We've got to set aside the desires of our flesh. We've got to set aside what we want. And we've simply got to submit to what God's Holy Spirit is wanting to do in our lives. That is how we see the fruit of God's Holy Spirit come to life in us. That is how the straight paths come. That is when we begin to see all the blessings and favor that are listed here in Proverbs chapter 3. But we can't get this. We can't see the system here. We can't just see God here. We can't just show up with the 10% and expect that God's going to give us 100%. We've got to make sure that we are giving Him everything, trusting Him in every way. See, as we are coming into, or as we are now into 2020, as we turn that calendar over, one of the things that I want to encourage you with is to begin to think about how is it that you can take that next step of faith that takes you farther away from the 10% and closer to the 90% so that you could be at a point where you are actually trusting God with your life and not just trusting Him with a drive to a worship service, right? Because God, don't you know, God has an understanding for you, but it's not one that you've been working on for your whole life. It's just not. It's in His Word and it's through His Spirit. But you've got to trust Him to let go of everything else in order that you can receive everything that He has for you. Let me move on this second part. So we got to trust in the Lord, but we also need to fear the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7, says, do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord. Now, we're going to get to the shun evil thing here in just a minute, but when all of your money is God's money, it makes you look differently at how you use it, right? And I think it is a direct reflection of how it is that you are fearing the Lord, how it is that you are revering God, how it is that you are submitting yourself to Him. When you understand that God is actually the one who owns everything that you have, then it makes you look differently at everything that you think you have, right? Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Let me read this for you real quick. It says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. See, I do believe that you can have both God and money, but you cannot serve both God and money. One of those two things, one of those two entities is going to be in control. And this is where it's really important to know, what it is that you are giving to God. Because if you are giving the 10%, that is an act of faith that you are giving to God. However, it is entirely possible that in your giving that 10%, that your control over the 90% is like death grip hard, right? Lord, I give you this, so keep your hands off of this, right? I'm going to do what I want with this. You got this, just be quiet now, right? Right? But when we fear God, when we revere who He is, when we understand that He is our Father and that all that we have is from Him, then we begin to see that there is nothing that we can hold back from Him. We may not give 100% in an offering, right? But the way that we spend what we have, the way that we save what we have, the way that we give away to other people what we have ought to be a reflection of our relationship with God and how we see Him. It ought not to be a reflection with the relationship we have with our money and the fear that we have that it might not be there one day. Do you see how you can only serve one? Sometimes we are so scared that our money is going to up and leave us. We bow down to it. so that we can try to impress it enough to just stick around long enough, right? What if we actually bowed ourselves to God our Father in those moments? What if we got to a point where we said, you know what, if I don't have any money, that's all right, but if I don't have God, that is not acceptable. You see what I mean? When we fear the Lord, then with everything, then we look at our finances and we look at everything in our lives totally differently, because it's not just a bone that we're throwing to God. It's not just a gift that we're giving Him, and it's not just a one-time expression of faith. No, it is a lifestyle of submission to who He is, and just recognizing and having reverence for all that He is, right? God is so far beyond us and yet so close with us. And I hope that there are times where you step back and think to yourself, oh my goodness, I can't even believe how awesome God is. Right? I hope there are times where you are just going through life and you just kind of get that shiver in your spine like, how is this even possible? God, like, why do you even love me, God? Like, wretched that I am in every way that I've turned my back on you, God. The fact that you are still here and that you're still making a way, God, I just thank you, Father, that you didn't leave me in my old life, but that you got me in this new thing, God. And I just thank you, Lord, for being who you are. Like, I hope that you have some of those moments sometimes. Because He is so worthy of our praise. He's so worthy of our worship. He is so worthy of being feared, right? And just and to be clear in this, when I talk about being feared, I mean recognizing the awe of God. Like, God is so amazing, so powerful. If He wanted to snuff us out, He could. And yet He does not. And I thank God for that every day, because I'm sure there are times where you might think twice about it, right? Like, Tim, are you serious? Like, stop it, right? And here we are, and here God is, and He's still at work. Let me move on to this third part here. Still in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This phrase here of "do not be wise in your own eyes" is interesting, right? Because I think today we might say that a little bit differently. We might say something like, "Oh, well, it doesn't really matter, right? I can do X, Y, Z. It doesn't really matter. I know that it's not really in line with the Bible, but I can do this, that, and whatever because it doesn't really matter. I know that God isn't really honored by this, but it's not hurting anybody else, right? I know that this doesn't have anything to do with God or His will for my life, but it's not bothering anyone, right? Like, this idea that if we are wise in our own eyes, in other words, we see a wisdom that is not the wisdom of God. We see a way of doing things that is not the way God would have us to do things, but we just justify that by saying, oh, well, it doesn't really matter. But that's also not the truth, which does really matter. You know? See, your life really does matter. I think it's important that you hear that this morning. Because when I say that, it's not just that your life matters and so you shouldn't sin or do bad things or whatever like that. But, like, your life matters in such a way that there was a man who came to this earth named Jesus. And He actually took on a punishment that you deserved, by the way. I deserved it, too. I'm not trying to put this on you. We deserved it, and He came and He got the snot beat out of Him, among other things. He died on a cross that was humiliating. He gave every bit of His strength and energy, and that, we wouldn't have to die. I want you to hold on to that for just a second there. Because death shows itself in a lot of different ways in our lives. And many times, the way that we experience death the most is not through the loss of a loved one or a friend. It's not through someone's physical body, you know, receiving their last breath and going into a casket, and being celebrated at a funeral. No. Many times, the death that we experience the most is at the hands of the sin that we allow to control our lives. Now, what's interesting about this is that we don't really see that as a death sometimes, right? We don't really see that, but I know that it is, because there was a day when I lived in that death, right? There was a day when I lived in that death, and then God spoke something into my life that I cannot begin to help you understand how it is that he spoke to me, or why it is that he spoke to me, or what it did inside of me. But what I know is that after I heard the word from God, and after I submitted my life to him and actually gave my faith to him, I knew at that moment, then I was alive. I don't know what I was before, but I sure wasn't alive like I am now. I don't know how dead I was, but I sure know that now I am alive through the blood of Jesus Christ because of what he has done in me. Like you might not know how dead you are right now, but I can promise you right now, if you surrender your life to Jesus, you're going to know life in a way you ain't never known your life before. And you're going to look back at that other stuff and say, well, I didn't know I was dead, but I sure must have been, because I wasn't alive then like I sure am alive now. See, all of this, let me try to get back to where I started here. All of this is why it is so important for us to shun evil, right? Because when we don't shun evil, then we allow that to take us to a living death. And we may not even know we're in it until we get ourselves out of it by the grace and blood of Jesus Christ. So the good news is you can be set free too. Like, it is not just for me. Like, praise God. Like the grace of Jesus is available to all of us. And no matter how dead you might feel, or no matter how long you've been walking away from the Lord, no matter how many times you told God no, no matter what has been done to you, or what you have done, the choices you have made, or the choices that have impacted you, like, no matter what has happened there, you have the opportunity right here, right now, to shun evil, to shun the devil, submit yourself to God, and live in that new life. It's all available to you right now, okay? But watch this. It doesn't happen as we throw God a bone. It doesn't happen as we just give him part of our lives, right? It happens as we surrender everything to him. He doesn't just want the 10% of our lives where we put on the pretty face and we look like we're supposed to be here and we say, hello, how are you? Oh, I'm fine. Good to see you, right? No, he wants everything. He wants the 90% as well. He wants to be so up in your business that you're just bothered by the fact that he's even there. Like, he wants to, in Kentucky we say, he wants to get stuck up in your crawl, right? Like, he wants to be in everything, right? But it's the evil that we don't shun that many times keeps us from taking that step of faith. It's interesting how when we aren't seeking God with everything, evil has a weird way of finding itself in our lives. You know? When he doesn't have our whole heart, like it talks about in verse 5, when we aren't trusting the Lord with our whole heart, it's amazing how evil has a way of finding itself in there. But what if we just got tired of letting that evil be there? What if we just decided, you know what? I'm better than that. Not because I'm so good, But because Jesus is so good, like, he died on a cross for me. Like, why am I living for anything less? I want to invite the worship team to come on back up here. And as they do, I just want you to begin to entertain with me for a moment. What if this year we did something different? What if we didn't just let this year be like every other year that's gone by? What if this year we did something different? What if we decided to give God more than just part of our lives? What if we decided to just give God everything? Like, I know that sounds like I goes against every bit of the understanding that you might have, and it might sound really difficult to say, I'm just going to trust God in everything. I want you to know that when you do, that's when the strength has come. That's when the fruit of the Holy Spirit comes. Like, that's when we get everything that we want, that we desire. Like, what if instead of just throwing God a bone of a few dollars here and there, or maybe even that 10% tithe that faithfully give, what if we actually use all of God's money in God's way? Right? Again, I want to remind you, and it's not like a plug or commercial or anything. This is really just to help resource you. Part of the reason we do this financial teaching of virtue is because, like, as a pastor, like, I see in our congregation, like, I talk to people, whether it's you or not, who struggle financially.
Yes.
And there are some principles of how you can not just give, but how you can save and how you can spend that can actually empower you to be able to live, like, where you give everything to God in every part of your life. And it's amazing how when we begin to implement some of these principles and priorities, that it shows itself not just in our walk, but in
our
lives. But I mentioned that as a plug, right? Like, I just mentioned that. Like, this might be a tool and a resource that can really help deliver you and your family. I want to encourage you to take advantage of that. What if instead of just making sure that your kids are involved in a worship service or power church or Sunday school, what if we took responsibility for discipling our family? What if instead of you just making sure that your kids or your family is here, that you or me or Pastor Sarah or somebody else, what if this year you took responsibility to make sure that your family heard the word of God, whether they show up on Sunday morning or not? And here's what's awesome. Again, so we actually have some resources through our website, hmcg.org. You can go on the website there. We have all kinds of resources that are available right now under a type of family discipleship. And you can today go home and have the tools that you need to be able to lead your children and your family closer to the Lord, no matter how old they are. Right now. What if you just decide, you know what, this isn't going to be the year that I'm trying to grow close to the Lord. This is going to be the year that I take responsibility to see my whole family grow close to the Lord. That's not a 10% gift. That's an everything. That's 90%. You got to give it all on that one, right? What if instead of just showing up on Sunday morning, we decide, you know what, I'm going to establish some personal rhythms of worship at home. Whether that be through daily Bible reading, whether that be through prayer. What if we change some things starting today? Where we say, you know what, God? I'm not just going to give you 10%.